Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 5, day 5 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 5:17. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 5, verse 17. Now, if it pleases the king, let a search be made into the royal archives of Babylon to see if King Cyrus did in fact issue a decree to rebuild this house of God in Jerusalem. Then let the king send us his decision in this matter. So there's a couple things going on here. I love the fact that, you know, they've told the whole story now, and now they're realizing, you know, we understand that our place is very low in this thing, and so like, if it pleases the king, you know, they've got to include this very formal, subservient language. You know, this is all part of the decorum of the day to include things like this. And again, we still have that kind of decorum today. I mean, when you're addressing a judge, you use certain language. When you're addressing people, you know, on the floor of the House and Senate, you know, they say the distinguished, you know, senator from the great state of whatever. You know, there's always this decorum in public government communication. And so again, I've said multiple times, I love putting myself in the storyline, because I've experienced very similar things. And so I can relate to this because I've experienced similar things in my jobs that I've worked, where I'm interfacing with government officials and things like that. So I love seeing things like this. Like, it can be really easy just to pass over things like this. But I think the Lord, I mean, a human wrote this down, but we believe those who believe that the Bible is God-inspired. I believe wholeheartedly that every single word, the Lord, I mean, Jesus said that I didn't come to abolish the law, not one jot or tittle, not the smallest dotting of the I or crossing the T, said will pass away. It's not going away. So every single word in the Old Testament here, in the Bible, is important, is breathed on by God. And even, you know, seemingly insignificant things like, now if it pleases the king, let a search be made. I think these are important words of the Lord, and I think they're things that connect us to Scripture, because we could pass right over this and not think a thing about it. But I love this, because this is the kind of thing I have a hard time relating to certain things that are very cultural, that are not my culture. I see things in the Scriptures that are very Jewish, and I'm not Jewish. I'm as Gentile as they come. And so there's a lot of Jewish things, and even like ancient Jewish things are not even modern Jewish things. I'm assume that a lot of modern Jews have a hard time relating to ancient Jewish things. So there's a lot of cultural things that I have a hard time relating to. But then there's things like this where it's like you see this interplay going on amongst government officials, and it's like, oh man, I've been there. Wait, I've been there. Like, I can relate to this. I get this. I understand what's going on. And when you can put yourself in the story, when you can imagine what it would have felt like to be there, when you can feel the frustration that they feel of having government officials keep you from finishing this project that you came to do. Like, the very reason they were sent back was to build this project, and there's been nothing but red tape and bribery and all sorts of nonsense going on. When you've experienced that, you can feel this. This story is not just, it's very precise. It's giving us the details. It's not just intended, like the precision of this is not intended to just be giving us this perfect outline. It's so that we can relate, because this kind of thing has never changed. This kind of government obstructionism That's what government does. That's what government's best at. The United States, when the founding fathers founded the nation, they weren't trying to found this perfect utopia. One of the reasons that they argued and they fought and they discussed kind of the system that we established in the United States, where I live, was because, not because they thought they were going to found a utopia, but because they're like, we have all experienced this kind of government obstructionism and individuals getting in places of power and then abusing that power and receiving bribes and making it difficult to do things. Like, this has always happened. They understood that. This has always happened, and it's going to continue to happen. So let's form a system of government where there's like people that can fight with each other within government to best try and keep that from happening. Like, let's make the independent and opposing branches of government so that no one person can have too much power, so that they can't do this kind of stuff. And, you know, that's not a perfect system. That doesn't work, because you still end up with people in positions of power and there's not enough oversight and things like that. But they understood that. And that is a reality that every single person who has tried to do anything in the history of mankind has run up against, is there's always going to be this kind of obstructionism going on. There always has been, and there always will be. And so that causes me to not just read this story and think, huh, that's a cool story. It forces me to feel the story, because I've been on the receiving end of that government obstructionism. I've actually been on the side where I was representing people in government, watching them trying to obstruct things needlessly and trying to like figure out, how do I navigate this? How do I actually convince them not to obstruct things that need to go on, and advise them and those kind of things? And so I've been on many different sides of this. And so I feel it. I feel it when I read this. I actually have an emotional, at times, visceral response to what's going on here, because of the precision that Ezra uses in describing this kind of stuff, because he doesn't just gloss over some of these details. He puts them in, including the closing to this letter, and it causes me to feel it, because I have had to write letters exactly like this, where I'm kind of having to like suck up to government officials to get responses. I know what this feels like, and it puts me in the storyline. And I encourage you, whenever you find things like this, whenever you find something you feel like you can just pass right over because you don't feel it matters to you, slow down a little bit. Slow down and read it again and ask yourself, is there a way that I can relate to this? And maybe you don't. Maybe you've never worked in government. Maybe you've never worked for government people. Maybe you've never been in the middle of this, and this doesn't connect with you. But I bet for most of you, you can find a way. You can read this and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I've been there. I've been there. When you start thinking about that and pondering that, it pulls you into the storyline. I think that's exactly why something like the closing to the letter to King Darius is included in Scripture. I think it's why Jesus says not one dot or dotting of an I or crossing a T will pass away, because this is important. Because these kinds of things, they pull us in. Whenever you read Scripture, don't skip over anything. Even the stuff that you look like and is like, why should I know this? Ask yourself, is this here because it's pulling me in? It's helping me connect with the story on a deeper level than just knowing it up here. But I can feel what they felt. And when you feel what they felt, you can begin to feel what God felt. And you can begin to ask the question, Lord, what did you feel about this? And then even more importantly, you can begin to ask the Lord the questions, Lord, what do you feel about the conflict that I'm in? What do you feel about the trouble that I'm in? Like this struggle that I'm in at work right now, Lord, it sucks. It's hard. I don't like it. They didn't like this. You didn't like this. You sent prophets to tell them to get back to work. What are you telling to me? What do you feel about this thing that I'm in now, God? when we get pulled into the storyline, it can actually change and affect our storyline. Because this storyline that we're reading, it's our storyline too. And I think that's the important part about these kinds of things in Scripture. I don't think we should gloss right over them because I think they are important. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-week Bible study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.